Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, callers. Welcome to the Neil and Baker. Neil and Kristen Baker. I just erased myself from the show. Goodness gracious. I said,
zinc.
Welcome to,
Use ink next time.
What did you say?
I said, use ink next time.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah, I think there's erasable ink, though.
Yeah, but it's weird erasers, they're rough and they're white. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Well, anyway, since we're not using ink or pencil,
yeah.
I'll reiterate the name of the show, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. I said the Neil and Baker Psychic Hour.
I know, I get it.
So, anyway, it's Wednesday. I feel like we were just here. We kind of were because we had a show on Saturday this past week. So, normally, Wednesdays and Fridays. Last week, what was it? A late Wednesday and Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah. So we're sticking to our regular schedule this week, and we do have a caller in the queue. We're going to be getting to that caller in just a moment. But first, we want to invite those that are listening and calling the show to join us on Facebook and on Twitter. Those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Okay, let's bring on this caller from 414 area code.
Hi.
Hi there.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, I can turn you up, hopefully. Get you, okay,
can you
go
hear
ahead
me?
And,
sorry.
Now I can.
How about that?
Yes, the volume, too, on my computer was a little low. Okay, what's your name?
Felicia.
Is that F-E-L-I-C-I-A?
F-I-L-I-S-H-A.
S-H-A. Yeah, yeah. I was going to ask if it was a non-traditional spelling.
It's more like a flower.
That's pretty spelling.
All right, good morning, everybody.
I'm hearing What? There's a lot of background noise. Someone seems to be in a seminar. In the background.
She's talking to somebody on another line.
No, I'm on the phone.
Okay. Well, Felicia, what brings you to the show?
It was my first time calling in.
Okay. Just want a general reading, or did you have a specific question?
Specific question about career.
Are you at work right now? I mean, it sounds like you're at work.
No, I'm working from home, and it's just, I'm sorry, the background noise. I'm at home.
Oh.
Is that better? Can you hear me? How about that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I still hear the background noise, but that's okay. So you're working from home. But
mm-hmm.
Is that what you're listening to involves something, is someone involved in your work? Or is that just...
That's something I'm listening to that's involved a little bit in the work. I'm just listening to it.
Okay, that's what I thought. But anyway, okay, so let's get your birth date.
April 25th.
Okay.
1969.
Okay, 4, 5, 6, 11, 21. You know why?
36, 9.
Interesting, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you've never called our show before, Felicia. Mm-hmm. So, your karmic number is 36, and your master number is 9. So, your life goes in cycles of 9, from birth to death. And 36 is divisible, so that's also... Yeah. So, that's just an additional cycle of 9. Some people have karmic numbers that aren't divisible. So their cycles go from birth to death, and then they also have cycles from their karmic number, the age that they mm-hmm. have their karmic change. So there would have been a change in your life in 2005. Felicia, can you go mm-hmm. back to 2005? Before, so we're just doing a little tracing energy here in your life before we get into the question that you have about your job.
2005. I know I started school and I started doing more things for myself.
You started school in 2005.
I started college. Yes.
Okay.
Completed my undergrad in 2010.
Okay, and don't tell us what you do right now. But did that mm-hmm. job help to prepare you? I mean, did the school help to prepare you for the job that you're currently in?
Yes.
Okay. So what occurred at your karmic turnover is somewhat indirectly related to the question that you have, because you're asking about your job, and now we found that in 2005 you had a change which involved starting school, and that educational process is directly involved in what you're doing now. And how old are you now? You're 51. Right?
Just turned 51. Yeah.
Just turned 51.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she has a ways to go she's in the middle of a cycle. Okay. Yeah. Since 45 was your last change. Do you want to?
Well, Felicia, now I want you to think broadly about this question. If it doesn't really seem to make sense, try to see if you can figure out a way to where there would be a connection. But is there any way where you're involved in any form of the medical field?
I started off as working as a, what do you call it, a patient care assistant. Then I went to a dialysis tech. I was a dialysis technician for 15 years. Then I left from a dialysis technician. I ended up going into the criminal justice side, and now I'm in the homeless side.
Homeless?
Homeless.
You're like in public service, essentially.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
So you went from the medical field to the legal field to the patient care. You were actually there. Then you went to criminal justice. Now you're in the homeless. Are you like a social worker?
Nope. I am right now. I am a system director. I work for the state, and I'm over the system director of the Office of Housing and Homeless Services.
And so you're working remotely right now because of COVID-19. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
So everything's shut down. What state are you in?
What state I'm in? I'm in Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Well, see, the fact that we don't know you and we got this medical
Five.
Journey going on, which was one of your first occupational steps, that's significant, Felicia. That counts as a psychic connection. Then you moved over to criminal justice. Then you moved over to housing and homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
And they all sort of come into a theme, basically, of the welfare of society, health, then the security and safety regarding the legal system, and then housing and homelessness regarding those who are vulnerable and need help. And this is all incidentally tied in with politics and health and the
Correct.
And the overall disadvantaged. So you're on the right track. I mean, what I mean by that is that your journey is aligned with what you were supposed to do when you came down here. Now, this place that you're in, you would have had a significant change at the age of 45. That would have been one of your cycles.
That was 4 years ago. 4 years? No, 6 years ago. 6 years ago. What happened that would have been 2014? Anything?
My dad passed.
Okay, so that is it.
Now, when your dad passed, was your mother alive, and was she going through any kind of turmoil in that term?
Well, my mom and dad is not together, but my mom, where she stays, she was going a little bit of a turmoil, not that much of a turmoil. But
okay, another question. Do you have two siblings?
I have several siblings.
So you have at least two. You have at least two.
My mom, yes. My mom and my dad have six of us together, total.
And how many of either gender?
How many of them who? I'm sorry.
How many of either gender?
Me and my little sister are the only two females. My brothers are four.
Okay, so the two siblings connecting, we're connecting to the specific gender in the question.
So there's not two siblings, but there are two sisters.
Two sisters.
So that's the division.
Yeah, that's
between
the
sexes.
That we were picking on when we asked about two.
Yeah,
and don't forget, in your karmic number, you have four and two. Connect that to four and two. Four males, two females.
Right.
Five
and
is
not only that.
Communication.
Yeah. Exactly.
So are you involved in any kind of grants?
Yes, I the program that I'm working currently, we approve grants, and these are for providers that's out there who's actually doing the housing and homeless services for the community.
Okay, Felicia, you're in the right place. I see good things coming for you in the future. It may change and shift if there's a change in the administration.
So
if Biden becomes president, the pathway is going to be a little bit smoother. If he doesn't, it's going to be a little bit rougher. But you're on the right path. That's my first response. Chris,
so,
can you chime in?
So, Felicia, specifically, I know that you had a question about the job, and I don't think you've actually asked it yet. Is there something that... I mean, is there a specific question that we haven't touched on yet?
Well, right, so far you guys are, okay, but you're hitting on everything. I know I'm starting a school in July. I start school in July. I'm starting back to get my master's for management and leadership. I just see, how long did you see me currently at the state working? Because, I'm getting all the knowledge that I can, and I don't know if I'm going to be...
Go ahead.
I'm going to be opening my own. I just feel that way sometimes. My own.
So you want to go into business for yourself, and you're going to be going through an educational process that's going to enable you to perhaps have more, a stronger ability to go out on your own and maybe establish your own foundation. Is that what you're looking to do?
Yes.
And when does the schooling, when is the schooling going to, how long is it going to take you?
18 months.
How many, 18 months?
18 months. Well, let me just say this before you continue.
18 months, which is a nine, by the way.
To answer your question, I believe that in three years, there's going to be a move towards you having your own center or your own business. And that will be at the age of 54.
Yeah.
And then between 54 and 57, it even gets stronger. So the answer to your question, if you're going to be, you're going back to school in July, okay.
That's the preparation for, it's essentially preparing her for her turnover at 54.
But in code.
Or change.
In code, July is a seven.
Seven.
It's in your day added up. And what's going to happen at the age of 54, which is a multiple of nine, then there you start to open up this business. And between 54 and 57, it grows. So to answer your question, that's what the viewpoint is right
now. So are you okay with working for the state for a few more years while
Yes. Because I'm learning. I have learned a lot, and I'm continuing to learn. I'm building up more self-confidence to be able to stand and speak to, you know, going out in the community speaking and doing things like that.
That's great. That's great.
You have a pretty commanding voice. What you want to do is keep listening to the way you talk. You need your voice is a commanding voice. When I first listened to your voice, I thought you're an authority. So I think what you need to do is increase the authoritative volume of your voice, not the volume in terms of
the authoritative impact of your voice. Not, you know, don't talk louder.
Don't talk louder. The commanding essence of your dialogue, based on facts and projections and knowledge, you're going to get better at that.
Well,
you should probably take a public speaking class.
I think this process of getting her, what is it, a master's degree that you're seeking?
Yes, ma'am.
So that's going to help in the process as well. But I think the public speaking is a good idea.
Yeah, public speaking. Take that or practice it or something.
Okay.
You know, but yeah, that's what we see. Good news for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome, Felicia. And follow us on Facebook. We always love having new followers on our page with the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. You can follow us there, Neil Baker Psychic, or our personal page, Neil and Kristen Baker. And those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile, and we wish you luck in your journey.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye.
Yeah, so sometimes the codes and the birth date apparently reveal a lot of information. You just have to learn how to read the code.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask her, you know, for this call, it wasn't really appropriate or it didn't pertain to the conversation, but I'm guessing that she had some difficulties growing up. She's got that 11, the broken 11 in her month and day, and she did say there was a divorce, but I imagine there was some turmoil.
Probably.
Her 6-9 shows, you know, that there's her ability. I mean, she's a 9, obviously. She can endure.
You see, but the interesting thing about it, too, in that terminology of 11 in her first three numbers, and whether she had turmoil in her life, she entered a profession that is filled with turmoil. I mean,
right, but she's in the she's in the resolution of turmoil.
She's entering a world that is filled with turmoil. She's there to correct
it
and improve.
Right. That's
on
saying.
Where there is troubling situations. So she's that's exactly why her higher numbers are conversing with her lower numbers, because her higher self is out to wipe out her own personal karma in terms of the service she has to provide, and then to wipe out worldly darkness, if you will. So she's here doing that job. Her master number is also in her year, and her year is also neatly embedded in her 4 and 5 and her month and day.
Yeah.
I guess she left, but...
No, she's listening.
In her 4 and 5 is in her, that's her master number. There's a 9. There's a 9 in her year. So the obvious indication is this. You've come back to
Felicia.
Reduce your own karma.
Right, which is in relationships, because that 2 is tucked in the middle of that broken 9, which is her master number.
Yeah. And then thereby improve your own journey as well as the journey of society. So could you say that you're appointed to do this in an astral way? Yes. Before you came down here, you were probably in the astral realm you went through a system whereby you were appointed to do this because you've received enough energy in your past lives
to get to that point, which not everybody is appointed in life to do certain role. So that's, you know, something to be proud of.
Her immediate past life was an 8, but 1969 comes to an 8 because of the way it's added up.
Wait, it does.
Does it come to an 8?
No, it comes to a 7.
Comes to a 7?
It comes to a 7.
Comes to a 7.
15 to a 7.
So my error there, but no errors up until that point. But you see, that's where she has to, that area would be where she has to strive to get money.
Well, I found the 8. I found the 8 because in her divisions, she's got a 2, 3, 3. Her master number in her former life is broken up in her divisions. So between 4 and 2 is a 2, between 2 and 5 is a 3, and between 6 and 9 is a 3. So there's her 8.
Yeah, that's her 8, which in this indication would result in her struggling to get money based on 1, her karma, and then 2, her ability to transcend her karma and be rewarded for it in terms of getting monies that ultimately help others, benefit others.
Right.
So it's a journey that's combined with a personal evolution of yourself, combined with the reward of being granted money, no pun intended, but granted money that helps others. And then thereby what will probably happen is the organization that she builds on her own will be fed with and funded
with donations, and she'll be able to stay afloat.
It'll be pretty exciting.
Yeah, exactly. And this isn't the job that she's doing is public service, which is fantastic, and it's great for her soul.
Yeah.
It's not, I imagine a good paying job, but it's not something that someone's going to become a millionaire on. But it sustains her. She's able to, probably live comfortably and own a home, that kind of thing. But it's not, going to get her super rich. But that's part of the sacrifice of doing that type of work. There are people I know that did work in public health, and they could have been CEOs, but didn't. They stayed in the public health arena in order to serve.
Yeah,
which is
that's true.
You know,
see the her master number is 9. There's a 9 in her year, and there's in her karma there's a broken up 9, 4 and 5.
Right.
So she's repairing those numbers. In a past life, it was the disruption of relationship. Our relationships caused her to lose her balance.
Right.
And her voice was used
in
purely for ego.
Yeah.
That was the karma that she has to come back and reduce. And the way she's reducing it, and now come to think of it with the public speaking and having more, she said, I need to have more confidence. That wearing down of confidence was a result of bad karma.
Right, and it's right there in her 5. I mean, the location of the 5 is particularly interesting in regard to how she's feeling that loss of
And confidence. 4, 2, 5 is an 11, and the 5 and the 6 is an 11. So she's got a lot of a lot of karma to get through in terms of relationship stuff.
Yeah, for some reason I was getting it before she came on. I was getting a 10, which she does have in her year, in her month. And the first number for a year. I mean, it's a split up.
Yeah.
But it's there. Anyway, okay.
So karma, so codes and karma and how to analyze it and put it into a proper narration. I mean, that's all part of what we do and what we're working on ultimately
in our
book.
Which
which is
a long project.
The problem with the book is that we want to put everything in one volume. So we're not making, this is it. I'm not doing 2 volumes of this stuff. We're going to do 1 volume, and it's all going to be put into 1 book. And
then what?
And then we leave the planet and we're out of here.
I hope so.
And these shows will maybe go in the archives, but we will say bye-bye and take off. But, you know, when you have work to do on the planet and you've elevated your mind to knowing what you need to do and you finally are mature enough to center yourself and focus yourself in that role, then you got it. Then you know. Then you do the work that you need to do, and then, as it said in the scripture, it is finished. You've done your work. I mean, for him, it took 33 years.
For us, it's taking it's taking me less time than you. But
I could call Moses my son. But
I have to say something. What poor Neil was this morning, apparently bending over to pick up a leaf. And he's got some back pain. As he was picking up the leaf, he relayed the story to me. He was bending over very, very slowly, and the lady was walking by, and she said, "Oh, do you do yoga?" You tell the story.
She said, "Do you do yoga?" And just because I didn't want to say I have back pain, I said, "Yes." She goes, "You must be a yoga master." I go, "Yes, it's taken me years to do this position." She goes, "That's fabulous." But then after she left, I succeeded in grabbing the leaf, and there was the Rocky theme came out, and I picked up the leaf.
Oh, my gosh.
That was it.
Oh, we had the same. Oh, gosh.
I don't know. You know, lower back pain, it seems to be a common thing. I don't know. I mean, you know, when you think about it.
Well, your father had back pain.
Yeah. But the... you know, it's a lower chakra. It's sort of lower back pain is a weird energy field.
Yeah, well, the Kundalini. It starts in the lower back.
Yeah, it starts in the Kundalini, and it's common. Millions of human beings suffer from lower back pain, but you know why that is, medically speaking, why it all centers there. The gravitational pull maybe of the body, the way we've had to use that part of our body, and it is a bending thing. So usually when we bend, that's where crucially things start to corrode over
time. Right, because the joint is, you know, the joints start to...
You know, when I was in PE, one of the easiest exercises that we had to do at the beginning, I loved it. It was so easy. Was you put your hands on your hips and you go to the left, then you go bend down. Then
you were
go
bad
to the right,
at PE too.
Then you go to the, then you'd put your back. And I used to think, oh, this is the good one. It's not a push up. It's not a sit up. It's not all this other stuff you have to do. This is the easiest one. But in all actuality, that's the one that probably you have to pay attention to, because it was about lubricating, exercising, maneuvering that part of your body. The center of your body is very, very important. The center chakra is your heart, but on your body, the center is supposed to be your waist.
Waist, yeah.
And proportionally speaking, you're supposed to have an equilibrium between your head and your waist, and your waist and your feet.
Yeah, hopefully there's not a tire in the middle of the waist. There's not a tire of fat.
There's not a tire. You know, some of these people have long legs, and I mean, some, you know, and then you get again to the idea of what kind of animal are you? Are you a gazelle? Are you a gorilla? Are you a giraffe? People, these long necks, the Vogue magazine, I used to see these long necks on these women. That was fashionable. I thought it looked freakish, but I remember people saying, "Oh, to have a long neck is the most fashionable thing." But I mean, it got out of hand. I mean, some of these necks were like 2 feet long.
Is my neck long or is it short?
Yours is sort of medium. And then you have these necks like, I mean, then you have these necks like the chin meets the collarbone. And you don't even know.
Anyway, I don't know what we're talking about.
We talk about all
you know what,
things.
But we were, you know what I find interesting? Well, you know, in the twin soul energy, I mean, we were talking about this the other day about writing. We both of us started a newspaper when we were, I don't know how old you were when you started yours.
I was about six, seven.
I was eight in the third grade. I started it at the school. And of course, promoted myself to editor-in-chief. I don't know what was wrong with my ego then. At 8 years old, I wanted to be editor-in-chief of the newspaper. But anyway, we both started newspapers, but I was just thinking also, we were both bad at PE. You had bad. I was terrible.
I got B's.
Well, I got B's too, but
yeah,
but I was not. I mean, I was not athletic. However, I was good. I was a great cross country skier. I was a good ice skater. I picked up ice skating very quickly.
Yeah.
And took some ice skating lessons through school, for a quarter or something. But individual sports, I was good at
I was too.
You did body.
I did golf, and you did body surfing and all that.
So isn't that funny? Because so individual sports, we were both surfing, better yeah. at than, you know, the group.
I was in Pop
experience.
Warner.
Oh, you did football.
Yeah. Ended up breaking my arm in Pop.
I wanted to be a Pop Warner cheerleader. I wasn't allowed to do it, but and I wouldn't have been coordinated enough probably to be a cheerleader.
Yeah.
Well, I was enough to ski. I mean, I was a really good skier. So it's strange how that works, how you're coordinated in some areas and then in others you're not.
I think at seven, I got a Johnny Unitas football helmet, blue helmet. No, what I wasn't good at was gymnastics. And when I finally reached the top of the rope, I was so nervous. I asked the teacher, which hand do I hit the top of the thing with before you slide down? He said, use your dominant hand. And I said, well, I'm ambidextrous. So sarcastically, he said, then touch it with both, which I did. And then I went falling 20 feet down to the ground.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, so stupid. But my gymnastics, I mean, the only reason I got a good grade in gymnastics was the teacher laughed so hard watching me do gymnastics. He laughed so hard he couldn't breathe. Then he said, you're going to get a good grade because maybe you should be a clown, which I did try to be for a while. But
and you have a past life as a clown.
Yeah. The attitude, it's sort of like, I love the Charlie Brown cartoon strip because there's a part in Charlie Brown where they all meet on the pitcher's mound and start discussing every aspect of the earth, politics. Everyone's having an opinion. And Charlie Brown looks at the reader and says, we may not ever win any games, but we have very interesting conversations. And that's kind of like we may not win any awards in on our radio show.
But, I don't think we're going for awards.
But, no, we're not. The award to try to keep an hour going without falling asleep.
No.
But the idea that that the basis of any energy read is to look at the total evolution of a human being's journey, and you have to look at that. Sometimes people say, will I get the job? And the psychic goes, yes. But I don't know if it's so much an answer. Answers are important, but understanding why an answer comes the way it does, it's much more vital sometimes than the answer itself.
Well, and it's very common for people who aren't getting a definitive answer in a certain subject matter to be very frustrated because they want the psychic to say, well, this is going to happen. Do you see this? Do you not see this? And when it is a creative journey and there's not a destiny line, then it's not so black and white in terms of what is the ultimate outcome.
You know, what we do, sometimes what we do is I read the obituary sections all the time. And when somebody famous dies, they usually have two or three columns about their life and what they did pertinent to a year and things like this. I think people should really look and trace their life. Determine what you're born into.
You have
what your existence was like in your first 7-10 years.
You have to be educated to do so. You know, and not everybody is going to examine their life in that way because they don't have the knowledge to look at their life. I mean, that's
right,
why we're writing this
ideally,
book. I mean, ideally, yes.
Ideally, but I think that when you're talking about the journey of the body, the soul, and possibly if you get up there, the spirit, to look at your life and in reflection, to try to analyze, why did I go through these things, which were determined by my willpower, and which were determined by circumstances external to my willpower, you know, the universe, the gods, the destinies, whatever it may be, as opposed to what my inner self created. A lot of people develop such mental assets that they rise out of their position, talking about homelessness and people living in the projects and in the ghetto and poor, and how the mothers work so hard to help get their children education, and they have so many things they have to face, gangs and all kinds of stuff, and they end up in college and rising above their origin of circumstances. That's the spirit. That's the soul. And the spirit and the soul sort of leaks energy down to the physical being, which is still preoccupied by the brain and the mental capacities and the emotions.
Well, the hope is that there more of the spiritual content will be leaked into the brain than less.
So luckily, we're not ants. We're not born into a caste system that we can't escape.
Well, some people are born into a caste system that they can't escape. I mean,
yes,
they are, but actually.
But the capacity is this. We're not genetically built to just be ants. People who are untouchables and people who go through poverty all their life, they work hard. But they're still an element. There's still an escape clause. There's still a way to remove oneself from one's harsh
conditions
and provide for oneself an attitude of evolving. Because we're not wired just to be in a caste system. We may circumstantially be there and environmentally be there and whatnot.
And sometimes karma can be so limiting that a person is not able to pull themselves out of that caste system. But hopefully there'll be the ability to transcend that karma and get out of that situation.
The slave rebellion, the Jews leaving Egypt, the blacks leaving the plantations, we do it in great movements. Sometimes we have significant leaders, and even if they're shot down because they are potentially threatening to the ignorant masses of people that think that people should be in their place, we still have that ability to create a pathway or a door where otherwise there wouldn't have been one. So it's the same thing in one's energy field. If you're locked into a situation that is predetermined, it's what you were born into. What we're trying to do in our book is to show ways where numbers are codes in which you can transcend the obvious parameters of what you seem to be confined by.
Right.
And that involves the parameter. Well, you know, I had a speech impediment when I was small and I couldn't even talk to all
I know, like, say piranha for everybody.
No, I won't.
It's cute.
They ate my tongue. But what was I saying?
You were saying about transcending karma. And I was going to make a comment about, you know, not being able to change karma necessarily, but transcending it. Those are two different things. So transcending karma in order to move out of the conditions that you're.
We're providing an analysis, a narration of how the code systems and birth dates reveal to us ways that we can transcend our limitations and not be prone to just what is determined to be predestinate, you know, a determined level of what you're supposed to be. There are birthday codes that are sort of locked in place. Those are sad cases. People who just have a extreme karma and they're on the planet living it out. And the best they can do is provide a significant spiritual attitude about their condition or about their circumstances. And then from there to move forward into a higher element of consciousness. Because one thing that is hard to trap is the mind.
Right, so this is what I was going to say. Like, I mean, someone like Nelson Mandela, who was in prison for, you know, so long, and though for that period of time, he was unable to change his conditions, he was able to transcend them because of his mind and elevate his mind to a higher place, you know, in order to cope with being imprisoned.
Yeah.
So that goes along. I mean, you can't change, most people can't change their karma, what people come into the world with and their family structure and the dynamic. That can't necessarily, sometimes it can be changed. Sometimes the family dynamic can be changed, but often it can't be changed. But a person can transcend what they came in with.
Right.
Transcending is different than changing.
Yeah,
those are
true.
Two different things.
In my youth, I knew people who had terrible emotional environments that they grew up in, and they turned out to be very successful in the element of entertainment, in the element of nutrition, building empires, being multimillionaires.
Yeah, I mean, household name. I know who you're talking about in terms of the nutritional, and we can't reveal who we're talking about, but this person is someone everybody listening to this radio show would know the name of the brand this person is associated with, of their nutritional thing.
And what they've done in the field of nutrition to elevate the body, the mind, the soul. And I mean, I knew this person growing up, and look what this person just transcended.
It's pretty amazing.
When I knew him in high school, there was no indication that this was going to be his position. But then having a small shop and doing that, what's that, green grass?
Wheatgrass.
And squeezing that all the time and making concoctions. And then from there building an empire.
The family dynamic, I mean, the family was intact, the parents, right, in the family.
Yeah,
but there was
some
kind... They were married, is what I mean.
Yeah.
But there was also some kind of...
A lot of turmoil.
Turmoil in the home environment.
A lot of turmoil. So you can grow up, and then other individuals in the family grew up to be totally successful and very renowned. Now, and they all have a basis of a good spiritual character. They're good people.
Well, the master numbers, I know of two of them are sevens. In that family. I don't know about the third person we're talking about. There's four, I think, children, right?
Yeah.
Four. I don't know everybody's master number in the family. But anyway, two of them are sevens. One's a 25-7, one the other's a 34-7.
Yeah. And they all, it's interesting, their dynamic, and growing up with them, it's interesting the way I've watched the evolving nature of their energy. In fact, their father was a
teacher,
was a teacher of mine, one of my favorite teachers of all time, and a very gracious, humorous man. But you know, that's a personal story. When you get into your own personal stories and the people that you've seen that you've grown up with, whether they become heroes or criminals, the observing the way people grow is part of being a psychic. To understand the process of change is part of a process. To understand the process of a number system and a birth date is a process in and of itself. It is coded. So my approach to existence was always to look inside of everything, to analyze. Whatever talents I have as a psychic were enhanced by my ability to have insight into character, which had nothing to do with being psychic. It was just having insight.
Something I think people obviously develop throughout their life, but you're either talented in that area or you're not. You know, someone who has talent as an insightful person may develop it to a keener insight, you know, as they grow older, but either you have it or you don't. I that's what I think.
Right. Talent is the cream of the crop. I mean, talent is important. there are several people who aren't that talented and through sheer brute force are successful.
Well, right.
But they're not, you wouldn't really call them talented.
Right. But I'm talking about just specifically in
yeah.
regarding insight. There are people that think they're insightful, but they're not.
You know, there's an interesting movie.
I know people who think they're very insightful and they're not.
There's an interesting movie, and I think it might have been based on a book. It was certainly made into a song called A Taste of Honey. A Taste of Honey is Sweeter Than Wine. But come to think of it.
Why don't you sing it for
us? A Taste of Honey is analogous to the idea that when bees, when drones, when they need a queen, that one of the drones is fed royal jelly. And when that larva is fed royal jelly, the taste of the highest element of the honey, the pollen, the food substance, they develop into a queen when they hatch. When they come out of their larva stage. If two queens come out at the same time, they have to fight one another and eliminate, one has to be eliminated in the fight, so there can only be one queen.
Oh, that's very sad.
Yeah. But to come to think of it, I wasn't until now that I connected the movie and the song, A Taste of Honey, to the element of being fed honey and how human
right
beings
now this is spontaneous
get into this element which we could call talent or destiny. You know, people who end up in high positions, presidents, things like this. Is there something out there that registers with the idea and administers at the royal honey to certain people, that they're destined to be who they are? Alexander the Great, Marco Polo, Obama, even Trump. The people who you have to signify that if they reach a position, there's some sense of royal jelly. There's some sense it may be that, you know, that it could be Jesus Christ, or it could be Hitler, could be Moses, could be Gandhi, could be Martin Luther King.
What you're saying is, even if you are an evil individual like Hitler, he rose to a certain level of fame and power that,
yeah,
you know.
Something, you know, in there. And then our great icons in the industry, you know, the difference between Wallace Ford, who was an old character actor, and Tom Hanks. You have giants in the field that rise above the masses, even if the masses have their own significant characteristics and talents. There's always something above the norm of any given population or concrete element of personage. There's always something above the norm where somebody stands out.
Right, but there's a distinction also, I mean, between being on the planet and maybe having royal jelly and being a star or being a politician, but who you are on the planet, even though you've, through previous past lives, been elevated to that specific lifetime where there's fame, where there's power, it doesn't mean that the spirit has been actualized in that lifetime. So
no.
There's a difference. You have to differentiate between being powerful, being in a position of power on the planet, and then being a soul that actually transcends to the spirit level.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
sure.
You know,
there are people who,
and there are some that are in power.
Yeah.
I think Billy Graham is someone that you would say was in given royal jelly, so to speak,
yeah.
And was in a position of power, and according to you, probably transcended when
he
died.
Well, I had a lot of respect for him, absolutely, and he just impressed me. But you know, when we get into matters of people who have absolute intelligence and are gifted, I mean, he was a preacher. When we get into, and he devoted his life to following God. When we get into other aspects, like the master of the myth, Joseph Campbell, who some people considered a god. When we get into people like Einstein, who had some consideration for an ultimate intelligent universe, but the idea that people who are gifted and talented don't necessarily, have that spiritual essence. Spencer Tracy, great actor, but severe problems, alcohol, all kinds of things. You know, when you get into, but Academy Award winner, when you get into the idea that we can be masters of our trade, and not to mention the great composers and writers and artists that seem to have something destiny bound in what they do and what they leave on the planet, so that we can go to museums and capture and visualize and see the great works of art, you know, the Michelangelos and things like this, and Leonardo da Vinci, and just
People that are at the top of their field. I mean, let's not forget the vessels that perform the art of the composers, the musicians, and not only that, but the singers, the Maria Callas's, and the, you know, the Christa Ludwig,
who have a talent that is displayed
the
in Pavarotti's. Their presentation.
And look at Pavarotti. Look at Pavarotti's life. I mean, he had a mess of a personal life.
Yeah.
Horrible, but amazing talent. Yeah. So.
So when you, the element of bringing it all together in this trinity of mind, body, and soul, so that you, when you leave the planet, you've accomplished not just the talented aspects of being a human being and the productive energies that were actualized in great works of art or talent or whatever, then there's the idea of what has tempered the spirit and how have you conducted your life. Picasso is tremendously talented and renowned, but his affairs and the way he treated women, and I mean, what happens to the soul in that capacity? Why do some people come back and they're of humble means and all they have is troubles? What karma follows us,
right? So
a little bit of karma in the wrong area can bring us back to the planet, so to speak.
Right. And then so, I mean, you know, in analyzing why these people such as Picasso or Pavarotti come back to the planet with such a distinction on the planet and they stand out and they're, you know, famous for their performance or their art, but it's mixed in with darkness. But why, I mean, how did they get to the place of being renowned or being in the position to be renowned in a specific lifetime? So their karma up to that point was there was enough good energy to, catapult them into a position.
Existence is about creation and being creative. And when you look at the Bible passages and the heavens were made and the oceans and then the insects and the reptiles and the amphibians and the animals and then man, and then it developed into this convoluted plot that was in biblical narration just tremendously immense and monumental and complicated and convoluted and full of contradictions. When you get into all of that, it shows a stage of energy. Things are in stages. When we come to the planet, we are born from from the immense stage development of what brought us back. Some of us throughout our lifetimes develop great energies in our talented fields, respected fields, others in intellectual fields, others in athletic powers. But the point is this, it all has to be grouped together in the Trinity. The mind, the body, the soul, the integrity. You know, so many great people die with problems. You know, Polanski may be one of our greatest filmmakers,
but I mean,
but,
I had
and he may escape the so-called rape of a minor
on the planet, on but the he's planet. Not going to in the afterlife. There's going to be consequences.
There might be some consequences.
Yeah.
Who
well,
knows?
Going,
there might be some consequences.
Sure there will be.
Woody Allen, another one. Who knows what the truth is in terms of that? But when we are marred by problems that deviate from the total construct of what it is to be a human being on all the highest principles, those are the elements that
bring
in the process of karma.
Karma.
And the continuation of the body coming back.
Well, even if the problems are, right, and even if the, I mean, getting into the idea of karma or creating karma, if you're someone who is so involved in your own journey as an artist, and it's self-involvement, it's that's creating karma, obviously, there's going to be a return to the planet. So following one's passion isn't, you know, if a person's going to follow his or her passion, it's very important to be aware of higher principles, because if you're not, you're going to come back for sure.
I believe that. And it, you know, it's hard to escape the one's life without having problems or things that are maybe unfinished or things you regret or things that have to be left the way they are, even though they're complicated and painful. The hope is that you've transcended that. The fact of forgiveness, the idea of resolving, letting go. People who are entrapped by their past and they can't seem to get rid of their past. That's why there's confession. That's why there's forgiveness. That's why there's maybe the abrupt stage of turning oneself in and releasing the karma. So you don't keep running from the forces that are really the origins of your own crimes. We sometimes create in our life actions and then we run from those actions constantly. People who do things that are wrong, and then from that they produce a track record of running from their own actions, their own deeds, because the deeds themselves were not clean and clear and abundantly noble. So criminals who are always on the run, and people who aren't fair to other people who they're dishonest. They have multiples affairs. All of
a very
we end
sad
up
note.
From.
This is a very sad note to end the show.
Well, you can always get past it and think of a higher path. Hopefully, that's
yes.
Where it's
okay,
go.
That's a good way. That's a good way to close up. Okay, we are back on the air on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. And thanks to our caller today, and we hope you join us on Friday. Bye bye.